If we had 2014 to live all over again, how many of us would probably do some things differently? Most people are nodding, a few hands up, okay. And the reason is because at some things we fail, we make mistakes. Sometimes we give life our best shot and we still come up short. Sometimes we study for the test and we still fail. Sometimes we work really hard in our job and we still get laid off. And sometimes we work really hard on making a strong friendship, a strong marriage, and it just doesn't make any progress. It seems to be going nowhere. The fact is, we're quite often going to fail in life. It's not a matter of if, not a matter of if we will fail. We will fail many, many times. Because not one of us is perfect. We all make mistakes. We are going to have setbacks. We're going to have problems. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have defeats and losses. We will fail. So as we come to a new year, 2015, I want us to look at how we make a new start. Is there a godly way of making a new start? Regardless of what happened in 2014, how do I get a new start? The Bible says that God is very interested in our future. Isaiah 43 says, the Lord says, forget about what happened before. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new things I'm going to do. Forget about what's happened before. He says, don't think about the past. It's over. That book, the past, is closed. So if you don't get anything else today, I want you to get this. God is far more interested in our future, your future, my future, than he is in our past. See, sometimes we think God is fixated on our past. All he wants to do is remind us of the things we've done wrong. But that's wrong. God is not interested in our past. He's interested in our future. That's where we're going to spend the rest of our life. So he says, forget about your past. Forget about the former things. Don't think about that. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. So today I want us to look at how do we make a new start in 2015. Now, most of what I'm going to talk about this morning you can find in any Psychology 101 textbook. And the interesting thing is, just about all of it was in the Bible much, much more before, much longer before we even had the word psychology to think about. So regardless of what kind of circumstances, what kind of failures, what kind of situations we had in 2014, we're going to think about how we make a new start. You may have had a financial failure, or maybe a relationship failure, a failure of a marriage or a marriage you know. You may have had a moral failure. You may have really blown it and you made some decisions you are so ashamed of, you hope nobody ever finds out about it. Regardless, here are just a couple of clues this morning before we finalize those New Year's resolutions about how we start over. And I'm just using, just to make it easy for us this morning, that the letters of the word start. So S, stop making excuses. If I want to start over, start new, I have to stop making excuses for the past, for my failures. I've got to stop blaming other people. I've got to stop using rationalizations. I've got to stop seeing myself as a victim of my circumstances. Now, let me be clear. Other people can hurt us. Other people can harm us. Other people can scar us. But nobody can ruin my life except me. Nobody can ruin my life without my permission. I can choose how I respond to those hurts. The Bible says that's the starting point, to just be honest and accept responsibility for my part in problems and situations and circumstances. Proverbs 28:13 says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful, but if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. He gets a new start. She gets a new start. God says the starting point to starting over is to be honest and to face up to the problems that are my fault. Now, that's pretty hard for us because we pretty much like to pass the buck. I do. We live in a society, in a culture that loves to shift the blame. We blame the environment. We blame the economy. We blame the government. We blame our parents. We blame the stars. We blame our biorhythms. We blame El Nino. But God says most of our failures come from us. Here's just a couple of reasons. The number one reason people fail in life is they don't plan ahead. We make decisions and we don't look at the consequences of them. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 7, a sensible man watches for problems and prepares to meet them, but the fool never looks ahead and suffers the consequences. Jesus was often talking about the importance of planning. He said, there was a guy who goes out and he starts to build a tower, but he can't finish it because he doesn't have enough money. He forgot to plan. He tells the story about the king who went out into battle. He lost because he didn't count his soldiers. He didn't plan ahead. If we fail to plan, somebody says, we are planning to fail. If we fail to plan, we are planning to fail. Second reason is we often don't listen to others. We don't listen to good advice when it's given. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, plans fail without good advice. We need to get all the advice we can get. Get good advice. Why don't we listen to the advice of other people? Sometimes because we think we don't need it. It's called our ego. Somebody called that edging God out. Ego, edging God out. The Bible says pride always leads to destruction. When I think I know it all and I can figure it all out myself, I'm setting myself up for failure. If I don't listen and I won't listen to the advice of others, my wife, my boss, my partner, other people around me, if I think I'll just do it my way, we're not going to get anywhere. Some wit said, the guy who gets too big for his britches will be exposed in the end. The guy who gets too big for his britches will be exposed in the end. We give up too soon is the third one. Some of you just need to think about that for a while. Proverbs 24 verse 10 says, if you haven't got it, ask my wife afterwards. Proverbs 24 verse 10 says, if you give up when troubles come, it just shows that you are weak. Somebody said, failure is the path of least persistence. Failure is the path of least persistence. Often during trying times, we stop trying. We give up. Folks, if at first we don't succeed, welcome to the human race. If at first we don't succeed, we are normal. Very few people make it on the first try. Often we give up when success is just around the corner. There was a general who lost 2/3 of all the battles he fought in the American Revolution. His name was George Washington. He won the war. There was another guy who graduated 42nd out of a class of 43, then went on to conquer Europe. His name was Napoleon. Edison tried over 200 different elements before he figured out what was the right element to use in the light bulb. Over 200 failures before he had a success. It's always too soon to quit. The Bible says we need to stop making excuses, admit when it's our fault, get on with life. So S in START stands for stop making excuses. The T in START stands for take stock. I need to take stock of my life. That means I need to evaluate all my experiences. I need to look at what I have left after a failure. If I've had a financial failure, I need to take stock of what finances I have left. If I've had a relationship failure, I need to take stock of what relationships I have left. If I've had a moral failure, I need to look and say, what is God still doing in my life? What are the options? What are my talents? What are my assets? What are my connections? If we want to make a fresh start in 2015, we need to sit down and do an evaluation of our life and take stock of our experiences. Regardless of what happened in 2014, one of the things we still have, in fact, one of the things you have today in 2014 that you didn't have last year is more experience. God wants you to use those experiences. He doesn't want us to waste them. He wants us to learn from them and use them. Galatians 3 verse 4 says, you've experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? I hope not. Sometimes we run a little small group called Make a Difference at Church in the Marketplace. And we talk about how God uses four kinds of experiences in our lives. He uses our personal experiences. He uses the family we grew up in, our husband and wife experiences, our personal experiences to shape us. He uses our educational experiences to shape us. He uses our spiritual experiences to shape us, like coming to church, going on a retreat, reading the Bible, having a quiet time. And most of all, He uses painful experiences to shape us. As we take stock of our experiences, we need to ask ourselves three questions, I think. What have I learned? What have I learned? See, some people can be 40 or 50 or 60 years old, but they don't have 40 or 50 or 60 years of experience. They've never learned anything. What did we learn from last year? If we don't sit down and think it through, we'll probably end up making some of the same mistakes as we did last year because we didn't learn from it. Second thing to ask is, what are my assets? What have I got going for me? I've got my health. Have I got my freedom? Am I mentally sound? Have I got some friends? Have I got God in my life? Have I got a church family? What have I got that I can count on? Third question we can ask is, who can help me? When we need a fresh start, we need somebody by our side, a friend, an accountability partner, a support person, a support group. We need other people because we don't start over by ourselves. We need somebody else to walk along with us. Every time we take stock of our lives, we have in our brain what's been called a personal referral system, a database of every experience that we've had. All the experiences are stored in there. And every time we hear or see something, we immediately evaluate it by what's in our brain already. We say, does this square up with my experiences? If it does, we accept it as true. If it doesn't, we tend not to believe it. For instance, if I was to say to you, parenting is mostly fun, you'd filter that through your personal experiences, and some of you would agree. And others of you who are parents, you'd run that through your filter and say, no, parenting is hard, difficult, demanding. Sometimes it's no fun. Those of you who think that, talk with Pierre afterwards. So we filter it through the personal referral system of our experiences. When we're starting over, making a fresh start, taking stock of our life, we need to realize that some of our experiences were faulty. They had faulty information. Sometimes there were outright lies. Not everything we've seen and heard and experienced was true. We can have false memories. We can believe wrong things. People told us things that weren't true. And yes, we stored them. When we were very young, particularly, and very impressionable, we tend to accept what other people say about us as true. They said it. It must be true. Someone said, you're dumb. We think we're dumb. Someone said, you're lazy. We think we're lazy. Somebody said, you're never going to amount to much. And we think, yes, I'm never going to amount to much. We can be 30, 40, 50 years on and older and still operating on things we thought about ourselves from primary school. It wasn't true then, and it's certainly not true now, but we're still acting as if it is. Some people are still living from an experience they had on a playground or from their parents when they were angry and they said something off the top of their head, but it stuck in their mind, and they're still living based on faulty information. We need to challenge our experiences sometimes, challenge what we've believed. We need to hold it up against the truth of God's word and say, what's God say is true? What does God say about me? Not what do other people say about me? We have to build our life not on our experience, but on the truth of God's word. So we need to take stock of our experiences. The A and start is to act in faith. The third step of getting a fresh start, act in faith. We have to launch out into new territory in 2015. The Bible says that the key to changing anything is faith. If we want to change our circumstances, it takes faith. If we want to change our personality, it takes faith. If we want to change anything in our life, we have to have some faith. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, according to your faith will it be done to you. Now, that's a very simple statement. It's also very powerful. According to your faith, it will be done to you. One way of saying that, or another way of saying that, is we tend to get out of life what we expect. According to your faith, it will be done to you. So what are we expecting in 2015? I think it's going to be another tough year, depressing, rigorous. It's going to be a real bummer. Guess what my year is going to be like? A real? What do you expect is going to be going on in your life? The same old, nothing's going to change in my life. Guess what? Nothing's going to change in your life in 2015. We tend to get out of life what we expect because according to your faith, it will be done to you. The person who says, I can, and the person who says, I can't, are both right. We get out of life what we expect, because according to your faith, it will be done to you. So we can start 2015 by expecting more. Start expecting more of ourselves and more from God and more out of life. That's a principle of faith. One way I can start acting in faith is I can stop feeling sorry for myself. Poor me. Poor Peter. I'm such a victim. Life is so unfair. Of course life is unfair. Whoever said it was fair? God never said that. This is a world filled with sin, and because of that, life is unfair. But we have to go on with life anyway. We stop having a pity party and stop rehearsing the past and regretting the past, and we get on with the present and the future. The more we regret 2014, the more we waste 2015. The more time we spend thinking, I wish that hadn't happened, I wish I could change that, if only I could go back and reverse the clock and redo history, and we're rehearsing and we're regretting, we'll not only make ourselves miserable right now, we're setting ourselves up for more of the same. The way we set ourselves up for more failure is by focusing on past failures. Because whatever we focus on, we tend to reproduce in our lives. According to your faith, it will be done to you. So we need to learn from our failures. Let me give you the secret that successful entrepreneurs know. Real success is built on failure. Real success is built on failure. Failure is the way we become a success. We figure out what doesn't work. When Edison figured out on the 200th or so time what would make a light bulb stay lit, he did that because he knew 199 ways that didn't work. You are highly educated people. You know lots of things that don't work in a marriage. You know lots of things that don't work in your personal life. You know lots of ways that don't work at making a living. You know lots of ways that don't work in raising kids. That's good. That's okay. Build on that. We rarely get it right the first time. So don't worry about trying to get it right the first time. Act in faith. Does God want us to wallow in our past? Of course not. He wants us to get on with our future. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, we should make plans counting on God to direct us. We are either going to get through this next year by design or by default. That means we're either going to have a plan in which we say, this is what I'm going to do, or we're going to let other people plan our life. And they will if we let them, and then we're just going to drift through life. Many people just drift through life because they don't have a plan. God says we should make plans, counting on God to direct us. God doesn't want us to drift. He wants us to live our life by design, not by default. So what are some goals for our lives in 2015? What are some personal goals? What are some family goals? Every kind of goal in our life. Have a number of them. When we come the next week, have a whole bunch of plans, resolutions. We're not going to reach them all, but that's not the point. The point isn't reaching them all. The point is, do we have something to head towards so our life has a direction? Friends, failure isn't failing to reach your goal. None of us reach all our goals. Failure is not setting a goal. And fear of failure keeps us miserable the whole time. It locks us up in a self-imposed prison of saying, what if? What if? What if? What if? How do we get rid of the fear of failure? Faith. That's why the third step in starting over is act in faith. Faith isn't the absence of fear. Faith is moving ahead in spite of our fear. So where do I need to act in faith today? Where do you need to take steps of faith to start over? We need to step out in faith. Proverbs 29 just reminds us, being afraid of people can get you into trouble. We shouldn't be making our plans and our purposes on the basis of what we think other people should think. The R in start is for refocus. I need to refocus my thoughts if I want to change my life. I need to rethink the way that I think about things. I need to change my mind about a number of issues. Proverbs says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The way we think determines the way we feel. And the way we feel determines the way that we act. If I want to change my actions, I need to change the way I think, and it will inevitably change the way that I feel. If I'm acting in a depressed, discouraged way at the start of this new year, it's because I'm thinking depressed, discouraged thoughts, and that's often my choice. Not always, but often. I don't have to think those thoughts. If you're acting in a fearful, worried way, it's because we're thinking fearful, worried thoughts. Now, here's the problem. We can't just change our feelings because we can't force a feeling to change. It's like saying, I'm going to force myself to be loving towards you. We can't just do that. We can't force a feeling. We have to go in the back door by changing our actions and our thoughts, and then that changes our feelings. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If I have to refocus my thoughts to start over, to get a fresh start, that means I have to stop thinking in some old ways. Which memories of 2013 have you been rehearsing through 2014? The Bible says, let go of those things. There are things that we regret that happened in our lives, things we're ashamed of. There are mistakes and failures and bad and dumb decisions. But every time we think them over and over again, we're just reinforcing them in our mind. Our past, God says, is past. It's over. It's done. It's never going to be with us again. The past can't hurt us anymore unless we choose to let it hurt us by holding on to the memory of it. The more we hold on to that memory, the more we rehearse it, the more we go over it, it continues then to hurt us today. It can't hurt us without our permission. So we have to change our mind and let go and get rid of those painful, hurtful memories of shame and guilt. How do we do that? Because that's not easy. Confession helps. We say, I've confessed to God, but I still feel guilty. How do I get rid of a painful memory? Not by resisting it, but by replacing it. We can't say, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it. I am not going to think about it. What are we doing the whole time? We are thinking about it. We stop focusing on what we don't want and start focusing on what we do want. Get our attention onto something else. Refocus. Replace those memories by every time they come up, start thinking about something else. Focus on something else. What's the best thing to focus on? God's Word. Psalm 1 says, happy are those who are always meditating on God's Word. They are like trees along a river that do not dry up. They succeed in everything they do. We all want to be happy. We all want to succeed. The antidote, the answer, the way we get those is the phrase right in the middle, meditating on God's Word. Now that's really interesting. It's interesting that the Bible doesn't say, if you read this book, you will be happy and successful. It doesn't say, if you listen to this book, like through a sermon, or you'll be happy and successful. It says, if you meditate on it, you'll be happy and successful. Meditating means I think on it over and over and over about what it means in my life. I grapple with it, I consider it, I consider the implications for my life. As we fill our mind with God's Word, it begins to change our mind. We begin to stop seeing ourselves as other people see us and as we've seen ourselves in the past, and we begin to see ourselves as God does. That's where the change takes place. That's the power to start over. And so we come to the fifth step, T. Trust God to help me. Depend on God. Don't depend on ourselves. We've already proved we can't do it on our own. Sometimes we just don't get it. We stumble and we fall, and then we get up and say, I'll just try harder. We don't get a fresh start by trying. We get a fresh start by trusting. Zechariah 4, chapter 4, verse 6 says, you will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The secret of success is not by trying, but by trusting. Would you like to wipe the slate clean? Have you ever thought, I'd like to redesign my life from the ground up? Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, when somebody becomes a Christian, he or she becomes a brand new person inside. Not the same anymore. A new life has begun. God specializes in new beginnings. Jesus Christ has the power to do that. It's called being born again. It doesn't mean reincarnation. It just means the chance to start over, a fresh start. God says, I don't want you to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to give you a whole new life. How does God turn a minus into a plus? How does he turn a negative into a positive? He takes the minuses in our life and he turns them into a positive by making a cross. Jesus was hung up for our hang-ups. Jesus died on the cross for everything we feel bad about. He was crucified between two thieves so we could stop crucifying ourselves over those past failures. That's called grace. You say, but I wasted so many years. The Bible says in Joel, I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. I'll restore them. Isaiah says it this way, I will give you beauty for ashes. So this year, 2015 that's coming, let's together as a church family, let's together as individuals ask Jesus to help us make that fresh start. So as you think about that for you and I think about that for me and we think about that together as a church family, let's pray. Dear God, only you can fully know the hurt in my heart. You've seen me stumble. You've watched me fall. You've watched me fail. You know the areas of my life that I'm ashamed of. You know where I've hurt others even when I didn't know I was doing it. Lord, you also know how I've been hurt by other people. Today, as I approach a new year, I ask you to give me a fresh start. I accept responsibility for my part of the problems in my life. And I want to stop making excuses. Forgive me for not listening to you. Forgive me when I think I know better than you. Help me to take stock of the good that you've brought into my life. Help me to learn from all those experiences that I've had. Lord, today I want to act in faith. I open up my life to you. I ask you, Jesus Christ, to be my Savior. I ask you to forgive me and to guide me from this moment. Help me to focus on you and your word. I want to trust you to give me the power to start over and to do the right thing from here on. Come into my life and be in charge. In your name I pray. Amen.